Yeah, good morning, everybody. A couple of months ago, I gave a sermon. I'd been going through my father's war diaries for about a year, and it's all finished now. And I talked a little bit about that a couple of months ago. But when he went off to France in 1939, September 39, his mother gave him a card. And on the card, I've mentioned this before to at least once, on the front of the card he had a few scriptures. And I'll read them out. You don't have to turn to them. If you want to write them down, that's fine. But the first statement was, God has helped me. And Psalm 118, verse 13. The second statement was, God does help me. Psalm 54, 4. And the third one was, God will help me. Isaiah 41, 10. So, and then at the bottom it said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my dad kept this card on him for the whole war, basically. Well, basically, not just for the whole war, for the rest of his life. He kept that card on him. And there were times when my dad used to get extremely depressed. There were some statements like, I wish the war, yes, 26 September 1944, I wish the war would finish, it's gone on long enough. And then 30th of October, he says, 27 years old today, I'm feeling pretty ancient and decrepit. I'll be probably middle-aged by the time the war is over. There were times that my dad felt like giving up, and it was normally just before there was a breakthrough, you know, just before he was taken off the beaches at Dunkirk. He was pretty depressed. There were 13 in his unit that were unaccounted for. And then he was lifted off. Another time he was 9 months fighting in Italy, and he got very depressed towards the end, and then they were suddenly lifted out of the line and sent to Holland. And then, just as they got started, then the war ended, and that was it. So, but it was sort of right towards the end when people have a tendency to get the most depressed, just when things are just about to lift. And I think, I don't know, 2 or 3 years back, I talked about how I once did a bicycle trip from Land's End to John O'Groats. It took me about a week. Yeah, six and three-quarter days I timed it, and one rest day. I was had a lot less of this in those days. But the time I really, really got depressed was, if you can picture, you all the way, it's about 900 odd miles all the way up to Wick. Now Wick is the last decent town before, and it's about 18 miles to get up to John O'Groats. During that 18 miles I practically gave up, because the wheel was doing that, and every few hundred yards I'd stop and I'd get off and I'd kick the bike. I was so angry with it, and tell it how much I hated it. And 18 miles of absolute murder. And then finally the end came. But the time I really, really, really got depressed was right at the end. Right at the end, just when the end was in sight. I really just wanted to sit down and cry. And it's a human tendency that you just want to sit down and cry just when things are just about to break. And I don't think I'm the only one. Now, a lot of people in the Bible suffered from discouragement. For those of you who have your Bibles, and I'm sorry, I can't actually be on the laptop and speaking. I know some people can do it. But Numbers 10, 11, verse 10. Numbers 11, verse 10. And he's been doing his job for a long time, and it's getting him down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put all the burden of these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I can't carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I have found favor in your eyes. And do not let me face my own ruin." I mean, does that sound like somebody who's depressed? I mean, I'd be pretty depressed. I mean, he had several million people moaning at him. I mean, I can. And then you think about Jeremiah. I mean, Jeremiah had a rough time. One time he was thrown into a cistern full of mud, and he was up to here in mud. And I don't think you can get more depressed than that. And then he said this: "Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child has born to you, a son.' May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" Now, does that sound like depression to you? I mean, if you're standing up to here in mud, that's probably the way I would feel. And you think about Elijah. Think about Elijah. He's been in the wilderness for 3.5 years. He's come back. And he's disposed of all the prophets of Baal. You know, he's turned the people back to God, most of them. And he's done all this with the help of God. And then Jezebel said, "Right, if you're not like one of my prophets by this time tomorrow, basically you're in trouble." So Elijah, after all he'd done this, he ran away. 1 Kings 19 verse 2. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And then in 1 Kings 19, verse 14, he's got to Mount Sinai, and God said, "Well, what's the matter?" And he says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me as well." So Elijah got very depressed as well. And if you can picture the scene when Jesus has had his ministry for 3.5 years, he's done all these miracles, everybody says, "Jesus is the Messiah, he's our Saviour." And then he gets crucified. I mean, that's what you call a damp squid. He was going to be the king of Israel. He's going to kick the Romans out. And then he gets crucified. And Peter sums it up and he says, I'm going fishing. I'm off fishing. I've had enough. I'm off fishing. And they said, we'll come along as well. So a lot of people in the Bible didn't have an easy time. You know, some of them, well, one at least was sawn in half. A lot of them beheaded. They, you know, they faced terrible, terrible persecutions, fed to the lions. And most of the time they really felt discouraged was just before the end, either just before they were martyred or just before they were delivered. But it's just before, just when things are about to break, when you feel, that's it, I've had enough. If you would like to turn to 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, we are hard, this is the NIV, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So a lot of people at the moment, they're going through great tribulation at the moment. Terrible things are happening in their lives. And we think about them, and they must be very, very depressed. But we have God to get us through the war. We don't do this on our own. Now, the scripture I'm going to quote, and I'm going to quote it in four different translations. Now, the one that you're familiar with is the King James one. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you're probably aware that when the British handed Palestine over to the Jews and to the Arabs, they gave a present to the Israeli government. It was a menorah, and at the bottom were those words, Lo b'chayev, lo b'chayev. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The only way you're going to survive is by my spirit. Now, the contemporary English version says, I am the Lord all-powerful, so don't depend on your own power or strength, but on my spirit. Bible in Basic English. Not by force or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of armies. Good News Bible, you will succeed, not by military might or by your own strength, but by my spirit. Basically, doesn't matter how strong you are, quite often you won't be strong enough. It's God and his spirit in our lives that will help us to succeed. And just think about yesterday we had Donald Trump being elected. I didn't see it all, but apparently he did invoke God. He talked about the God who created the universe at one stage. He asked for the help of God. And that makes me very confident that. And if he continues like that, if he continues as the young King Solomon did, and he says, look, I can't do this on my own, you've got to help me, then you will succeed and you'll be a good president. And that's what that's what we should all be praying for. The times we're living in now, I once quoted King George VI. Now, this was Christmas 1939. If you can recall, about 3 months before that, we had declared war on Germany, but the war had started. And everybody was incredibly depressed. Everybody could remember the slaughter in the First World War. 1 million British soldiers from the British Empire, dead. 2 million Germans, dead. 1.25 million French, dead. I don't know, it's about 1.5 million Russians at least, dead. As well, I mean, that's just some of them. We're not talking about the wounded, the people who grew up without fathers, without mothers, without brothers, you know, an incredible slaughter. And all this was in his mind, you know. And they just declared, and it was going to happen again. And at the end of his speech, he said, "A new year is at hand. We cannot tell what it will bring. If it brings peace, how thankful we shall be. If it brings continued struggle, we shall remain undaunted. In the meantime, I feel that we may all find a message of encouragement in the lines which, in my closing words, I would like to say to you. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way.'" We don't know what's going to be happening in the next few years. We really haven't got a clue. We don't know. Only thing we can do is put our hands in the hands of God, and he will see us through. That's it.